One announcement that we didn't focus on, it's on the back of the insert about the service tonight is a service a week from tonight. There's a biennial survey of students in the Allegheny County. There's some statistics there that are pretty disheartening, and we'll be meeting to pray here. People from other churches will be here next week. Okay, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Yes, chapter 3. We've been going back and forth between Colossians and Ephesians, and on this particular topic, Colossians probably has more information than Ephesians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Let's pray. Fathers, we talk about what your word said to slaves and how it applies to those of us who work for someone. Father, I just pray that you'd open our hearts to see these things from your perspective. Father, so many of us spend 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, working for someone, and how we behave in that time frame is a totally critical part of our testimony. Lord, help us to see what your word says. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I talk about this topic, it seems I should probably say something, because a lot of people get all upset that the Old Testament regulates, does not try to abolish slavery, and the New Testament does the same thing. And if you were like me and you watched Roots with horror and realizing it was a lot worse than you thought it was, it's hard to contemplate why God would allow and regulate rather than abolish. I want to read a couple of verses that maybe will help you understand that what God allowed and what was practiced in this country before the Civil War were not the same thing. This is from Deuteronomy, and it's a fascinating passage. You shall not hand over to his master a slave who has escaped from his master to you. He shall live with you in your midst, in the place which he shall choose in one of your towns where it pleases him. You shall not mistreat him. Now think about what that would have done to American slavery. If a slave escaped from his master under the Old Testament law, and he came, and his master came looking for him, you told him, you can't have him. The law commands me to protect him from you. If he left, he probably had a real good reason. He's here. We're going to give him a place to live, and we're going to make sure he is treated fairly. I think one of those scenes that just really got me was when they maimed Kunta Kinte to keep him from running away. Exodus 21. An owner who hits a male or female slave in the eye and destroys it must let the slave go free to compensate for the eye. And an owner who knocks out the tooth of a male or female slave must let the slave go free to compensate for the tooth. So if you injured your slave, they just became a free person. Now, that's not exactly the kind of slavery that we were talking about before the Civil War. When I think about the evil of slavery, I think about ISIS and sex slaves being sold and sold and sold and sold. And it's a fairly complicated subject, and it's not our primary topic. But a man could buy a woman, a female slave. But when he did, if he had sexual relations with her, they were married, and she was a free woman married to a free man. And if he didn't treat her right, she could leave him. He could never sell her once they were man and wife. She was now a free woman. You put that into the mix of what the Old Testament did with slavery, and wow, it changed a whole lot. Now, we should not forget, it's always been Christians who led the fight against slavery, especially the kind that existed in America before the Civil War. And there's no real way to contradict that statement. Our topic this morning is what the New Testament said to slaves. Now, when we get to next week and talk about what it said to their master owners, you'll understand what the New Testament did to slavery. But we're talking to those who were under the yoke as slaves, and the best application of this is for those who work for someone who pays them for their work. I might add, this was something I thought I knew and I realized I didn't. When I started looking at Old Testament slavery this past week, I realized that in a lot of places, the word that's translated slave is translated servant, and our understanding of slavery doesn't fit at all in terms of what their relationship to their master was. So we're talking to employees this morning. Slaves, obey your masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. The first thing Paul says to the Colossians is, slaves, and again we're applying it to employees, do what you're told, and do it not just when they're watching you. You ever work someplace where if the foreman or the supervisor left, absolutely nothing got done until he got back? Ever been a foreman or supervisor and known that was going on? Yeah. Do it because of your relationship to God, not just to please them. Do it with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Now, how many of us, when we worked for a boss, said to ourselves, how I work is part of my relationship to God? Because it is. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And he states it much more strongly here. When you're working for someone, do it, give it your best. Work with all your heart. Why? Because that's part of living for Jesus Christ. That's part of being a Christian. You work as for the Lord, not for the human master, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. You know, when you're working for someone, part of your reward when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ will be how hard you worked for the person who hired you. You'll be rewarded for that. That's something that God is concerned about. And then it's just stated very bluntly. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. There's something I want to say, but there's another verse that covers it better, so we'll leave it. And then it ends with this. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrong, and there is no favoritism. God is going to look at each and every one of us. God is going to evaluate our lives, and God is going to look at our work ethic. And he's going to look at it in such a way that everyone will be rewarded fairly, justly, for how they have worked. There is no favoritism with God. Then Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." Romans, for God does not show favoritism. God doesn't have favorites. God doesn't play favorites. Every one of us is going to stand before God. Every one of us is going to, if we're a believer, it's the judgment seat of Christ, and explain what we have done for him. And part of what we've done for him is going to be how we have worked for an employer. Now, Ephesians has much of the same things. Let's look at that. Ephesians 6:5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Same concepts. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It's all about your relationship to God. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slaves or free. God is going to evaluate our lives, and particularly in the area of work in this context. Now, 1 Timothy also talks to slaves, and it says, "All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered." Now, this is a big deal. Paul is saying, look it, God looks at everyone as equal. One of the more interesting conditions in the early church is that very often slaves accepted Christ first and then witnessed to their masters, and eventually their masters would come to faith. And many times in the early church, they would meet almost every evening, and then they'd have a big service on Sunday morning, maybe before sunrise, because slaves had to go to work. And so you'd have a guy who was a slave, and he would be working and doing exactly what he was told all day long. And when he's done for the day, he'd hurry over to the church meeting, and his master might be one of the people who would show up, and the slave would be the elder in charge of the service, and the master would just be one of the people there. It made for a very interesting dynamic. But the testimony of Christianity and the ability of Christians to penetrate society with the message of the gospel to a large degree depended upon how the slaves who accepted Christ treated their masters. And I will tell you very simply that how Christians work at their jobs is one of the major things that will give a good testimony for Jesus or will be a very poor testimony for Jesus. And I'm going to say something here. We had a number of debates about at Bible school, but I'm quite confident I'm right on this. If you're working for somebody and they're paying you for your time, if you can witness and do your job, fine. But if you can't, find a way to witness when you're not on the clock. So I have seen people say, well, I'm doing God's will, but I'm not doing what I'm paid being paid to do. And be real careful about that. It becomes very hard to witness to somebody who feels that you're somebody who doesn't do what you're paid for. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Oh no, he's going to talk about Burger King again. You know, I've been on both sides of the equation. I've worked for a lot of people, and I was a manager for 5 years and 9 months. And one of the most frustrating things I ever faced as a manager was dealing with people who said they were Christians who were poor employees. It drove me nuts. And I reached a point in time where I didn't talk about being a Christian as much as I might have, because I felt like I was being evaluated by the people who said they were Christians that everybody knew weren't doing their job. That's a tough spot to be in. And I'll tell you the other thing. Almost every Christian I ever hired, as soon as they found out I was a Christian, wanted special treatment. Well, you're a Christian, so obviously you'll give us Sunday off. And yeah, I pretty much gave any Christian who asked for it Sunday morning off, as long as they're willing to work Friday and Saturday, like everybody else had to work 2 days on the weekend. That was fair. But when you're a Christian, and you got a Christian boss, it's very easy to say, well, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have equal standing before God, so obviously he shouldn't be able to tell me what to do. No, that's not where Paul's coming from at all. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. Couple of really interesting things in there. But basically, if you're a Christian and your boss is a Christian, don't try to take advantage of it. Try even harder to do your job well. Now, Peter talks about this too. There are a lot of places that talk about this. This is 1 Peter 2. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. And then Peter gets down to one of those areas where I really struggled. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for being good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Now, I'm almost willing to guarantee that all of you have had a boss at one time or another that you thought was a jerk. I'm probably right. And I had a bunch of them. And you know, it was fairly easy for me to work hard for a good boss. But for somebody who was picky or someone I didn't respect because of their lifestyle, or for someone who wanted me to work hard and I knew they never did, I actually got asked to hire the wife of the district manager when I was a Burger King manager, which was against the rules, but the regional manager told me to do it. And found out that they were headed toward a divorce because of how nasty he was treating her, and I was supposed to treat him with respect, and frankly, it was hard. It was hard. But the Bible says, submit yourselves and show them respect, even when they're harsh, even when they're unreasonable, and even if they give you a rough time that you don't have coming. And that happens. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Now, I'm not ruling out filing a grievance and all that sort of stuff, but I'm saying there is a tendency to want to really let them know what you think. You know, some people have given so many people a piece of their mind, they really don't have too much left. And it's just not a good idea. And Jesus is our example. And 1 Corinthians adds one other thing, and I think this one's interesting. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. The general rule is when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't immediately try to change everything about your life. Stay where you are, let God work through you, and change things slowly in your life. The only exception? Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. So you can serve Christ as a slave, Paul says. But if you can become free, that's something you ought to do. One of the most incredible things about some of the earliest missionaries that we know of in the modern era, I'm not sure modern is the right word, but the Moravians, coming out of the 100-year prayer meeting, they had a prayer meeting going on in a chapel around the clock for 100 years, and out of that came an incredible missionary movement. And they're people who had a huge influence on John and Charles Wesley and a whole bunch of other people. But some of them said, we're not witnessing to slaves, and sold themselves into slavery to witness to slaves, and saw that as how God was calling them to serve. You can serve as a slave. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. There is freedom in Christ for those who are slaves. But we are to be slaves to Christ even though we're free. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings, brothers and sisters. Each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. You know, when it talks about slavery, there is sex trafficking in this country and around the world. Slavery has never been totally eradicated. But for most of us, the idea of selling us ourselves into slavery is something we would never think of. But Proverbs says the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. And I think there are a lot of people who make decisions that put them at the hands of the bank or the credit card company or whatever. And if you've ever tried to go to a bank or a credit card company and say, you know, I know I owe you this money, but let's change all the terms. It doesn't work. They make the decisions. And that's a form of slavery that we as Christians really need to avoid. So let's talk about some things. Even though the Old Testament allowed slavery, and the New Testament does not specifically teach against it. The kind of slavery practiced in the United States before the Civil War violated many Old Testament rules and much New Testament teaching. There was no way that what was going on in the South before the Civil War lined up with even the Old Testament teaching, let alone the New. The things slaves were told to do generally apply to working for an employer. Christians should work hard, as for the Lord, and not only when being supervised. It's just a really important issue. God will reward those who are good employees as part of serving Christ. Have you ever thought about the fact that when you stand before Christ and your rewards are going to be considered, one of the things that will be considered is how you worked at the jobs you held. Bad work habits give an opportunity for God and the gospel to be slandered. It was true back then. It's true today. Christians should work harder, even harder, for saved employers, and not try to take advantage of them. Trust God when you're treated unfairly. Do not respond in anger and with insults. Now, this doesn't rule out a legitimate grievance process and talking to somebody about something that's wrong. But anger and insults and retaliation are not things that are proper. Becoming a Christian does not require immediate employment change unless what you're doing is illegal or immoral. There are some things that a Christian absolutely should not do. But for the most part, when you accept Christ, God wants you to bloom where you're planted, to grow where you are, and for changes to come later rather than sooner. Freedom, including financial freedom, is to be desired. Avoid becoming a slave through debt. Now, this isn't a sermon that a lot of people would think is about a really big spiritual topic, but I'll tell you very honestly, I think it's something that is a problem in Christianity. I think that we need to look at ourselves and we need to ask ourselves, do I work hard? Do I work hard because I'm working for Jesus? Do I know that God will evaluate how I work? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, what we've talked about today is just very practical. And Father, help all of us to take it to heart and to do what these verses teach us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.